Okay, I'd like to start by acknowledging the co-authors of this study, who are Regina Zimmerman, Mary Wynn, Joseph Kennedy, and Catherine McVeigh, all from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. So since the 1980s, New York City has had a right to shelter mandate, and the city is required to provide temporary shelter for every person who is eligible. So how this would work for a family is that a family would go to an intake shelter, an intake center, they'd be interviewed by a caseworker, and then that person would inquire about the family's living situation, explain services that could help them avoid homelessness or entering a shelter, such as family mediation, anti-eviction legal services, and out-of-city relocation services. So then the staff assesses whether a family is eligible for homeless services by confirming that they really don't have any other options. Okay. So in the past few years, we've seen in New York City the number of homeless families residing in shelters increasing, and the number of families with children, that is children under the age of 18, has increased about 60% from July 2008 to July 2015. And we see there's this persistent racial and ethnic disparity with the heads of household for these families being disproportionately Black and Hispanic. And this issue has also come out in the press, particularly with regard to the health outcomes of babies that are living in homeless shelters. And so we really want to get a better understanding of their health outcomes and service utilization so that we can better inform the programs that we deliver. Okay, so what we did was we matched addresses of public housing, which is the New York City Housing Authority, which I'll refer to as NYCHA throughout the presentation. We matched those addresses and then also addresses of Department of Homeless Services shelters to Office of Vital Statistics birth certificate data from 2008 to 2013. So we had a total of 8,155 addresses that matched, and then we excluded a couple of the addresses. One was what's called cluster housing. So cluster housing are houses that are, there are units within market rate buildings that the Department of Homeless Services, they pay for those units. They're considered their units, but we couldn't tell whether or not it was a market rate unit, or a Department of Homeless Services unit just by, because we didn't have the unit information. And then we spoke with DHS and we found out that there are other buildings that may be mixed. And so we decided to also eliminate those addresses where less than 75% of the units were designated as DHS units. And then we also excluded those where the date of birth preceded the date that the building started operating as a DHS shelter. And so our total analysis sample was 3,837. Okay, and so we wanted to compare them to NYCHA residents because we considered them a low-income comparison group. And this is a very basic descriptive analysis, and we just did bivariate analyses. It's just chi-square. Pretty straightforward analysis. And so I've also included the total New York City population as a comparison, but I just want to emphasize that all of the p-values pertain to the differences between shelter and NYCHA only, not the general population. Okay, so the first slide is mothers, age, and years, and the blue bar is shelter residents, green bar is NYCHA, and the white bar is New York City general population. So as you can see, the homeless women were somewhat younger than those living in public housing, and both were younger than the general population. Okay, next is mothers, race, ethnicity, and you can see that those living in shelter were more likely to be Black and Hispanic. Oh, I'm sorry, the second set of bars should say Hispanic. I don't know why it's not showing up here. And the fourth one should be other or multiracial. But you can see here that there's huge ethnic disparities, especially for those living in shelter compared to NYCHA. Okay, the next slide is mother's birthplace. And you can see the majority of of homeless and those living in NYCHA were born in New York City, which is much higher than only the third of the general population that was born in New York City. And although homeless women were more likely to have been born outside of New York City, compared to women living in NYCHA. And what's also is very interesting about New York City births is that if you look at the set of columns on the far right, over half of those births of the general population are to foreign-born women. And we see much lower numbers for those women living in shelter and NYCHA, which could be because NYCHA may not be available to everyone based on immigration status. Okay, so the next slide is mother's work and social service use. And you can see on the left that there's a lower percentage of homeless shelter residents who work during pregnancy, which could be indicative of lower rates of employment overall among homeless women. And then in the second set of bars, the WIC participation during pregnancy, we didn't see any significant difference between shelter and NYCHA residents. And in the third set of columns, we see that more homeless women use Medicaid to pay for delivery compared to women living in NYCHA. And this could be, and so in 2012, New York State implemented mandatory Medicaid enrollment to the homeless population, so it could be that because that includes years of our study, that had an impact. Okay, and then the next slide shows primary prenatal care provider. And if you look at the second bar from the left, you can see, I don't know why all these columns were shifted over, but they're not shifted over, but it's not labeled. The second column from the left is clinic, and you can see that almost half of all homeless women receive their primary prenatal care through a clinic, whereas the largest proportion of NYCHA residents had a physician as their primary prenatal care provider. And it's possible that homeless women may have had more difficulty finding physicians who are willing to manage their care due to reimbursement difficulties. Okay, the next slide is maternal morbidity. And overall, homeless women and those living in public housing had poorer health outcomes. And if you look at the first two set of bars on the left, the smaller percentage of homeless women who had gestational diabetes and hypertension may be indicative of them being of younger age compared to those living in NYCHA housing. And then the third set of bars shows that homeless women were more likely to experience anemia during pregnancy, which may have been a result of poor nutrition and limited access to iron-rich foods. However, as I showed in a few slides prior, there wasn't really any difference in WIC participation. It was both pretty high in both groups. And then the fourth set of bars from the left, asthma or acute lung disease during pregnancy was more common among homeless women compared to women living in NYCHA. And asthma has previously been found to be associated with poverty, although the exact mechanism for this isn't very well understood. And then finally on the right, the percentage of women who had pre-labor referral for high-risk care was higher among both homeless women and NYCHA residents compared to the general population. But the finding that homeless women were less likely to have pre-labor referral for high-risk care compared to NYCHA residents may be related to the quality of their prenatal care. Okay, and here we have newborn outcomes. And homeless infants were more likely to experience poor birth outcomes. So you can see here, more likely to have lower birth weight, have a younger gestational age, and marginally more likely to have died within 1 year. Okay, and here's some other newborn outcomes. So one silver lining is that the homeless infants were more likely to have been administer the hepatitis B vaccine, which could be related to the Comprehensive Childhood Immunization Act of 1993, which legislated that vaccines be available free of charge to those with Medicaid or no health insurance. So that's one positive finding we did find. And then they were more likely to require assisted ventilation immediately following delivery and more likely to be admitted to the NICU following delivery. Okay. So the majority of newborns were discharged to their residence following delivery, but fewer homeless infants, that's 73%, were discharged home for homeless infants compared to 80% of NYCHA residents. And this was 84% for the general population. So this graph is only showing the discharge status of those that were not discharged to their residence. And so you can see on the far left that about a quarter of homeless infants remained in the hospital compared to one-fifth of NYCHA residents. And if you look at the far right, I just wanted to point out that the percentages of those discharged to foster care or adoption are somewhat low, but there was a 2002 study in New York City that found that homelessness was a strong independent predictor for separation of children from their mothers. So I think it's just worth mentioning. Okay, so this is the first study to examine differences in birth outcomes for New York City homeless shelter residents compared with public housing residents. And in general, mothers and infants residing at homeless shelters had worse outcomes than those residing in public housing. And both shelter residents and public housing residents had worse outcomes compared to the general population. Okay, so as I mentioned before, this is an exploratory descriptive analysis. We didn't control for any confounding. We didn't look at effect modifying variables. It's a cross-sectional study, so we can't determine anything about temporal relationships. We matched on addresses for both DHS and NYCHA, and so it's possible that people may have misrepresented their address. They may be living for homeless clients in particular, they may have put a family member's address down instead of the shelter's address. And then kind of conversely, for those living in public housing, we find that there are people who are kind of off the books in public housing, and so they're staying in public housing, but they may put a different address. These data also did not include mothers who were living in cluster sites, as I mentioned earlier. And that's important to note because approximately 25% of homeless families with children reside in cluster sites. And in 2015, a New York City Department of Investigation report found that these sites are poorly maintained. They lack provision of adequate social services to families. These families may be at greater risk for poor health outcomes. But just to let you know, the city is working on closing them down. So hopefully that won't be a problem in the future. Okay, so these are the conclusions. Understanding the health disparities of homeless infants can provide guidance for developing future programs and policies to improve health outcomes of homeless infants, and evidence-informed support services targeting homeless infants and their mothers have the potential to reduce these health disparities. So this analysis, although it was very basic descriptive analyses, was really in preparation for another project that I'm going to tell you about, which is a collaboration between the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene and the New York City Center for Innovation through Data Intelligence, which is a center under the Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services that has an agreement with the Health and Human Service agencies to integrate data. And so what we're going to do is we're going to match data from the Department of Health, including birth certificate data, death certificate data, hospital discharge data, and Medicaid with client-level data from the Department of Homeless Services and the Department for Human Resources Administration, which does things like welfare benefits and cash assistance. And we're also going to match those data to the Administration for Children's Services that provides foster care, neglect, and abuse services. Okay, and there's my contact information. We haven't integrated PRAMS data into this, no. That would be kind of an interesting
thing to look at together. Thanks. I would recommend when you do the next study to really look at emotional behavioral mental health conditions as well as ADHD.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, your follow-up study sounds really good and all that linkage, and I wonder if there's any possibility of linking they're targeted to the homeless and
Yeah, so I haven't actually, I didn't list that, but that is actually the impetus for the project, is the New York City Department of Health has a newborn home visiting program, and in 2015, they moved from, they had a traditional model, and now they have a shelter initiative model, and so we're hoping to gain client, get the client, the previous client data and integrate it into this match. We can get it. We can get it. Yeah. Well, that's tough to get. The education stuff's really tough to get. But, all right. Thank you.